Dolores, my wife, and I, we've traveled in, last Saturday we arrived, I guess. And, we are from Oregon, from Hermiston, Oregon. 42 driving hours from here, so. And we have six children. Dawson's one, and Valerie's a daughter. They're the two youngest. We have four others who are older. And they're scattered from Pennsylvania to Colorado to Oregon. So it's kind of fun this trip. We're getting to see all six of them and the nine grandchildren, too. So God's been very good to us. And, it's just a joy to be here with you this morning. Nice to see the sunshine after rain yesterday. Not sure how I think it's definitely more humid here in Oregon, there where we live in Hermiston. We average 10 inches of moisture a year, so different from here. And humidity, it's 100, 105 degrees with humidity about 9 to 11%. So a little bit idea where we come from. That this morning, just thinking about, like Dawson mentioned, the news, Israel in a war, Ukraine, and other strife going on around the condition of the U.S. right now with all the evil that's happening, just makes you think of what Jesus said about wars and rumors of wars, things getting worse. Romans 1, where reprobate minds that are controlling. And through all that, it just brought to mind that God is still in control, no matter what the world looks like, no matter what we are facing. And we can have confidence in this God who says what he says, and he stands by it. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'd just like to encourage us this morning, as we are living in these times, not to give up faith, not to back down, but to be faithful, to stand firm, stand strong. And just to start off with, I'd like to read from 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a story from Elisha's time. And Elisha was a great man of God. And this is towards the beginning of his ministry there in Israel. He's a prophet there. And there was war going on with the Syrians. And the Syrian king could not do anything against Israel without them knowing about it. And he didn't know how that was all happening. He thought there was a traitor amongst them. So let's read the story and gain some lessons from this. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So this happened numerous times. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." That'd be kind of uncomforting as a king, wouldn't it? Somebody greater than me. So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. So then the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, Lord. Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they had ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrians raiders came no more into the land of Israel. This was a time of great trouble for Israel, and Elisha, being a man of God, was not fearful. His servant was. He was afraid when he saw the armies coming. But Elisha knew that God was with him and that God's armies were more than the enemy's armies. And by praying and asking God to open his servant's eyes, he saw that great army surrounding them. Just want to encourage us with that. We can't see all that's happening. We don't know what God's plans are. But yet, he is greater than anything we will face. And our faith can be in him, knowing that he will take care of us. So what do we do in these times? How do we be successful for Christ? How do we give him glory and honor? First off is what Elisha said here, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. I think for many times for me, that can be a natural tendency to fear what I don't know. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. This is a good parallel for us from that story for today. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of his testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So do not fear, because God is in us, and he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That word power is throughout a lot of the New Testament. And it's not just power to overcome, it's miraculous power is what that actually means. It's the same power that God used with Elisha in opening the eyes of the servant and closing the eyes of the enemy. We can have that same power with us, with Christ. It's a miraculous power, not a spirit of fear. And of love. That love means affection. It means a love feast, which is what Elisha had the king of Israel do to these men. He gave them a feast. He gave them food. And that was often a way of having a compromise or we're done fighting now. This is the end. We have a feast together and leave as friends, or at least as able to live with each other. In the Old Testament, the way it was. But this here is talking about that too. The love that we have is not just, oh, I love you and move on. It's something that we actually pay attention to and give ourselves to make a better relationship with that person or whatever we are dealing with. So we have the power, we have the spirit of God's spirit of power and love and of a sound mind, and that is discipline or self-control. Those three things are the total opposite of fear, the fear that Satan wants to conquer us with. In Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the end times there, and he says, when you hear of all these things, rumors of war, all these famines and pestilence and earthquakes, he says again, do not fear, do not be frightened, because this has to happen before I can come back. So, another one is Luke 21:9, and that one, Luke 21, verse 9, well, it's the same, this is just Luke's version of it. It says, but when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. In Exodus chapter 14, Israel was again fearful when they were being in the wilderness there, and Moses said to them in Exodus 14:13, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, I will strengthen thee; yea, I will help thee." Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So with a God like that, there is nothing for us to fear. And I'm so thankful that God does not lie. He holds to his promises. He does what he says he'll do. And because of that, we don't need to fear, but we can trust and have faith. Next, the second one is we can need to stand strong. And by standing strong, let's look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. First Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Again, watching and standing strong and sharing that love with others. Stand fast is often two words that are together a lot in the New Testament. And that means to increase in strength. I think that's very interesting. We're not just standing in what we know, but we're standing learning, we're standing, growing more as we stand and wait on God. And when we're doing that, when God asks us to do something, we're ready to go. We're armed, we're prepared. And we can continue on gaining strength and standing more and more and firmer on our foundation, on our anchor, which is Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and long for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. 2 Thessalonians 2. Thessalonians 2, verse 15. Therefore, beloved brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions that you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everything everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Over and over again, stand fast. And Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This standing fast and holding to God's word is not something that we can do on our own. It is through the strength and power that God gives to us when we have become Christians and have trusted in Him. And Paul talks about putting on the armor. And in that, in Ephesians chapter 6, we see the stand fast again. Ephesians 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Stand, therefore. And then he gives the pieces of the armor to put on. I'm glad that the standing doesn't depend on us. In Isaiah 41, it says, "I will strengthen thee, I will help thee." And our standing is because of the strength of Christ. God is faithful. There's a lot of verses that speak of God's faithfulness to us. And because He is faithful, we can do number three, which is we can be faithful back to Him. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, he will commit to you your trusted true riches. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, he will give you what is yours, own. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." What we put our faith in describes who we are. And are we putting our faith in Christ? We are Christ's servants and we are doing what He wants. If we put our faith in anything else, we do not have a sure foundation. We are not anchored in Christ. And it's going to show in our lives. We're going to be tossed about and not know where we stand. And faithfulness to God is a foundation to be successful, to be courageous in the times we're living in. This faithfulness in 16 here, Luke 16, it means to be trustworthy. One who is convinced. I like that. Very faithful. We're convinced that Christ is who He says He is, that He can do what He says He will do. We've had some salesmen who've come, and it's easy to see those who are convinced of their product and those who are not. I sold sheds for a while, and to be convinced of your product is really what sells a lot. And so if we are convinced of Christ, we are convinced of who He is, of what He wants to do, it's going to show on our face, it's going to show on our words, and that we'll be able to put that seed in other people's lives and encourage them also to put their faith and trust in Christ. And that's why we're here. That's the whole reason for why we're here where we're at. Matthew 17, verse 20. The disciples had tried to cast the demon out of a man, and they could not do it. And so when Jesus was able to cast the demon out, and then in verse 19 it says the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" So Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." And with that also is chapter 21, verse 21. Jesus had cursed a fig tree and it withered away and did not give fruit. Verse 20, starting there, Matthew 21, verse 20, "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither away so soon?' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." So this is Jesus saying that if we have faith and we believe, truly believe without any unbelief or doubt, he can do many mighty things through us. And think of the man who brought whose daughter was sick, and Jesus said, "If you believe, she'll be well." And he answered, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." And that's where we need to be also, realizing that it's nothing that we can do, that we cannot self-motivate ourselves to do this. It's through Christ's Spirit living in us, the Holy Spirit in us, that we can do these things. And then it's not us who does it, but it's Christ in us. And he receives the glory for it. And his gospel can be spread further. So fear not, stand strong, be faithful, and be confident. 1 Corinthians 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 4. Let's start at verse 3. "I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul here is saying that I came and preached to you, but it was not it was not myself, because I am weak. I am in fear. I was trembling. My speech is not great, but it was God that you saw, God that you heard speaking through me. And I'm so thankful that it doesn't depend on our abilities, our good looks, our eloquence, to be able to share God's word, because God can use anything, anybody, to do his will. He's used evil rulers throughout the world to do what he wants, to have his will done. He had a donkey speak to Balaam when he wouldn't listen to God. And I guess if God can use a donkey, he can use anybody, right? Anybody, anything. And I'm just so thankful for that. This confidence comes from experience. Paul had experience here with Christ. He knew what he could do for him. There was, I don't know if you all heard of Bruchko or not, Bruce Olson. He's a missionary to Colombia back in the 70s and 80s. And he went in there. He bought a one-way ticket to go down there, not planning to come home. He was going to go down and witness to the Modeling tribe. And they were cannibals. God protected him on the way there miraculously to get into that village. And while he was there, There's many times that they tried to do something to him. They could not touch him. God was protecting him. He was there for about 12 years, translated the Bible into their language, and the whole tribe became Christians through his work there. In 88, the guerrillas were trying to take over Colombia, and they all had signed a peace treaty with the government except this one group of guerrillas. And they said that Bruce was standing in their way. With him out of the way, they could get what they wanted. So they captured him, kidnapped him, and he was with them for, I think it was 2 years. I'm not sure on that, but I think it was 2 years. And in that time, he said, been so many times in his life that he saw God protect him. He wasn't always not injured, but he was always protected. And he knew that God was with him. And he never faced fear while he was with the guerrillas. And even there, he looked for ways to serve them. He had nursing. He knew how to. He had nursing skills. And some of them were sick, and he healed them. He was able to heal them. And there's quite a few that he led to Christ. They were going to give the order to have him killed, and there was actually a couple of them that came to him at night and woke him up and said, "We are now Christians. We're your brothers. If we are given the order to shoot you, we will not. We know we will die because we will disobey them, but it says we're going to do that because we're your brother." So I was encouraged through that story so many times that what we face here sometimes can seem hard, but yet something like that, we don't face that yet. I'm not saying we never will. But when we do, do we have that confidence? Do we have that faith, that trust in Christ that no matter what we face, no matter what happens to us, it is God's will. God is in control. My mom was one who was very, very much had this confidence in Christ, in God. She talks many stories. Our family group came from Montana. And there's one time Dad got sick in the wintertime. And there was 9 weeks that he was without work. He couldn't go to work. It was snowing and cold. And my brothers went out to get wood for the fire. And they came and said, "The wood's all gone." And Mom says, "Well, we'll pray about it. And we'll just wait till morning." Had enough for that day. So the next morning, she told my brothers to go back out and check on wood. So she went back out. And yes, there was wood there, enough for that day. Next morning, Mom prayed again. And that continued until Dad was able to go back to work. The first day that Dad went back to work, there was no more wood in the wood pile. And she has other stories of God providing for her like that or for our family. And it just is so good to have those stories to encourage us. Our God is faithful. Our God is true. He will provide for us. So we don't need to fear. We can stand strong. We can be faithful. And we can have confidence. Job 19. Job was going through some trials that he didn't know was all going on behind the scenes. And yet that never shook his faith in Christ, in God. And he didn't even have the Bible to read yet. It was an experience, a live experience for him that he had directly with God. Job 19, verse 25. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at the last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed from this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." We shall see our Redeemer. We shall see God ourselves when we get to heaven. And that can give us great comfort. Through these times that we can't see ahead, we don't know. But God does know. So because we know all these things, we are Christians, we do have this confidence, we can stand firm, we can be faithful, we can be confident. What should we do with that? Preach the gospel. Preach it to others. The world around us is hurting. They are longing for what we have. Quite often I get asked, why can you do what you do? You know, why are you different? And it just opens up the door to share it's God who makes the difference. And Matthew 28, 18, the Great Commission. Jesus said, I am with you always. And to go, and that means as you go, as we go throughout our lives, everywhere we go, we should be looking for those opportunities to share Christ with others that we meet. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And that's that same power again, that miraculous power. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. So this gospel of Christ, not just for us, it's for everybody, no matter who they are. And everybody can be saved. There's no one that God did not die for. And I just pray that I'd have more of a compassion, more of a yearning to see others saved. Jesus is coming back. The signs are getting closer and closer to his return. And it should just create in me, in each of us, a stronger desire to share with those who do not know Christ, to really be out there and not afraid, not ashamed. God, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And I don't want that to happen to me. And I just want God to shine through my life. When people see me, that they'll see Christ, and I'd be able to share him with them. We have the good news of the gospel. Let's share it with others. He is the missing piece that they are looking for. Just in closing, if we could, Dawson, would you mind leading a song? Songs of, in the book Songs of Faith and Praise, 463, I Know Who Holds the Future. And thank you.